Hey, welcome to the Savage Survival Hacks Podcast. This is your host, Devin Savage. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about flooding. As we've all seen, there's quite a bit of flooding going on around the world, most specifically places like California, Vietnam, Thailand. There's a whole list of places. I won't go into all of them. But it's a mess, to say the least. So I'm going to start off by saying that flooding can cause a variety of life-threatening situations, okay? I'm pretty sure we can all agree on that. One of the most significant threats is drowning. A lot of people probably don't really think about that, but that is probably the most common and most significant. Floodwaters can rise rapidly, making it next to impossible to escape or reach safety. Shallow water also can be dangerous and can conceal hidden hazards such as sharp debris or open manholes, just to name a couple. Something else you need to think about if you're experiencing flooding or you think you're about to is electrocution. Right? Floodwaters can cause electrical equipment to short circuit, creating the threat of electrocution. Exposed power lines can also pose a threat. All right? Just be thinking about that. Another thing is trauma injuries. Floodwaters can contain sharp objects and debris that can cause cuts, scrapes, and other injuries. Flooding can also cause landslides, falling trees, and other hazards that can cause trauma-related injuries. More stuff to think about there. Also, disease. Floodwaters can contain, and most often do, dangerous bacteria and other pathogens that can cause serious illness. Cataracts can also pollute the water force, making it unsafe to drink or use for cooking or bathing. Mental health issues also arise due to flooding. Floods can be quite traumatic and cause emotional distress, anxiety, and depression. This can be especially true in cases where people have lost their homes or loved ones, right? And, of course, there's always the fires as a result of shorting out electrical systems, causing power outages, gas leaks. All sorts of things cause fires during flooding. So that's just a little bit to think about right there. During floods, let's talk about preparation. Right? Preparation increases survivability. So, you need to create an emergency plan and make sure all household members are aware of it. Okay? Make sure you assemble an emergency kit that includes such items as non-perishable food and plenty of water, and have at least a couple of flashlights, one that operates with just batteries, and one that, in the modern world here, can be used via USB. All right? You can always recharge that one with a power bank. Okay? So make sure you have that. Also, make sure you have a very good first aid kit and plenty of first aid supplies to go with it, okay? And, as I have also, goes with me everywhere, an emergency hand crank radio, okay? Everybody on this planet should have one of these. Everybody. Period. Also, be familiar with evacuation routes and potential shelter locations. Okay? Make sure you keep important documents and valuables in a waterproof container or safe deposit box. If you live or work in an area that is prone to flooding, has any history whatsoever of ever flooding, you should have sandbags or other flood protection materials on hand. All right? Make sure you keep an eye on weather forecasts and be prepared to evacuate if necessary. And you should always be ready to evacuate on the fly. Okay? If a flood is imminent and you are instructed to evacuate, do so immediately. All right? I understand there are some reasons that you may not be able to evacuate. I totally understand that. And if that's the case, go to the highest point in your home or business and stay there until the floodwaters recede. Avoid walking or driving through floodwaters, as even shallow water can be dangerous, as I said earlier. If you have your hand crank radio, as I just mentioned a minute ago, you should be listening for updates and instructions from local authorities. Just keep it on. Now I'm going to talk about essential survival gear and accessories. Some of this, most of this, maybe even all of this is going to sound very common sense, but people forget, and when the disaster strikes, panic in a lot of people tends to get in the way. So you need to have what you need in advance and be ready to use it. It needs to be packed and ready to go. Okay? So the first thing, of course, is water. Bottled water. At least 1 gallon of water per person per day for at least 3 days. Okay? Food. Non-perishable, easy to prepare food such as canned goods, energy bars, dried fruits, or you can even buy actual survival food. Okay? I have links to all of these things on my site. Survival is imperative, so make sure you get these things. Whether you get them off of my website or somebody else's, I don't care. But make sure you get them. Okay? Non-perishable survival food. And again, make sure you have a first aid kit. Know what's in it. Know how to use it. If you don't know how to use what's in there, get educated online. Or get with your local fire department, police department. I'm sure they'll be more than happy to go through that with you. Okay? So, at the very least, make sure it has bandages, pain relievers, antibiotic ointment, and other basic medical supplies. Tea tree oil is something I talk about a lot. For infection. You know, you get a scrape on your hand, something like that. Peroxide works great too, but tea tree oil goes with me everywhere. A lot of people don't recommend putting tea tree oil directly on your skin without diluting it. I do it all the time. I'll leave that up to you what you want to do. I've never had a problem. But some people react differently to different things, obviously. So, I would definitely consider getting some tea tree oil. It goes a long way. Lasts a long time. Because you only need like a drop. One drop. Okay? So. There are some excellent first aid kits via one of the links I have on my site. You'll see it. If you go to my gear page, follow that link there. It'll take you where you need to go. As I said earlier, make sure you have a couple of flashlights. One that runs on batteries. Have some extra batteries. Make sure they haven't been sitting around for, you know, a year. Okay? Make sure you have a USB charged flashlight. You can always recharge it with a power bank. Okay? This is what I do. And I have more than one power bank that goes with me. I've actually got a total of six. And these are high powered. I don't like being without power. So, make sure you think about that. You can get a multi-port solar USB power bank, which I also have. There's a link on my site to that. So, check that out. I'm going to mention it again. Make sure you have a portable radio or weather radio, such as a NOAA hand crank radio. Okay? Again, there's a link on my site to that. And on my gear page, you'll actually see the one that I currently use. That thing is awesome. Something as simple as a whistle. Make sure you have one. I prefer to have more than one. You can signal for help if necessary. Very easy, very cheap. Some first aid kits, survival kits, EDC kits come with a whistle. Some don't. So make sure you look into that. A dust mask or respirator is always good to have to protect against contaminated air, obviously. And I have a link to that on my blog. If you look at the flooding article I wrote, there's a link in there to the one that, actually there's several that you can look at via that link. So, personal hygiene items, such as wet wipes, sanitary napkins, toilet paper, these kinds of things. Make sure you have them. Another thing to make sure you have is cash and important documents, such as your ID cards, insurance policies, proof of address, these kinds of things. I would consider having a multi-tool, maybe more than one. A Swiss Army knife's always good even. Some people might laugh at that in today's world, but you know what? They still come in very handy. A lot of times they come with an EDC kit. Again, I have links to all this stuff in my flooding article if you want to take a look at it. But you need to be able to cut rope, open cans, things like that. Make tender, what have you. Okay? Also, make sure you have an excellent compass. Now, I have two ways of dealing with this issue, and I highly recommend them both. One is use a military compass that's more manual operated. Okay? I have a link to that. I also use a handheld digital GPS device. A little spendy, but worth every single penny. That much I'll tell you right now. Worth every single penny. You should also have water purification tablets and a water filter and a portable mobile stove. Okay. I'm telling you all these things because if you want to survive and you want to at least be somewhat comfortable, you need to consider having everything I'm telling you here. Because when it gets ugly out there, when it gets dangerous out there, you're going to wish you had these things. Believe you me, you will. You will wish you had these things. Not only that, I don't like being the victim in any situation. Okay? I don't like relying on other people. I trust myself more than anybody, for one thing. So, be self-reliant. Know how to use these things. Practice using them, right? Every once in a while, drag them all out. Take a good look at them. Refamiliarize yourself with them. Go camping with them. Go hunting with them. Go fishing with them, right? Take the stuff with you. Use it. Another thing you should have, especially during a flood, is a good set of binoculars. Warm blankets, sleeping bag, in case you have to shelter in place, or you end up evacuating somewhere far away, away from the floods, by the authorities, and you end up sheltering somewhere that doesn't have beds. Okay? That's about all I've got on this. If you'd like to know about other critical survival gear you should have for disaster preparedness and survival, check out my survival gear page. A lot of good stuff on there. Okay? And it's all stuff I actually own. So I'm not just putting stuff on there, you know, to go, hey, look at me. Look what I found. Check this out. Nope. I actually own these things. I use them. Okay? So they're highly recommended based on my own experience, time and time again. So just a note here, it's important to remember that in a citywide flood, every situation is different, and it's essential to be prepared, stay informed, and follow the instruction provided by local authorities. It's also important to have an emergency plan, as I said earlier, and make sure that everyone in your household and or workplace knows what to do in case of a flood. Okay? So, I hope I've been helpful to anybody listening. Obviously, you can play this podcast many times as you want, reference it as needed. I appreciate you taking the time and listening. I hope you'll share this with somebody. And for now, I'm off of here, and I will be doing another one on earthquakes, and another one after that on water purification. I got a bunch of stuff I'm doing. So I know a lot of this stuff is written about online, it's talked about on YouTube, etc., etc., but this is just my own version, my own way of conveying the importance of the knowledge and the tools. So I hope this has been helpful to you. I hope you'll share it, and I will talk with you again soon. Thank you very much. Savage out.